This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Welcome back to The Real Sex Education After School. I'm Diggory Waite, and I'm joined, as ever, by the real mum. What?
Do you want me to do it?
Yeah, do you want to do it? Let's do it.
Welcome to The Real Sex Education After School. I'm Kate Campbell, an accredited sex and relationship therapist, and I'm joined, as ever, by the lovely, wonderful Diggory Waite, who happens to be my son.
Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Yay, that was good. Maybe, fuck, am I out of a job? The only reason that you don't do this as solo is because I do the intro stuff and all the connecty bits. But if you can do that, then this is it. It's going to be a solo pod. What a lovely, relaxing listen for people. They can just stick you in their ears like an audiobook, and you can tell them about how much you love Brussels sprouts. And
I am dressed as a Brussels sprout today.
Yes, mum is wearing a lovely green sweater.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining us. We are having a wonderful time, as per usual, and we have some more questions from you that you sent in to us on our social media channels at the RSC Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and X.
Formerly known as Twitter.
Amazing. And of course, in the anonymous Google form, which you can find the link to in the bio of said social media accounts, and also in the bio of this episode. And it's totally anonymous. It asks for an email, but that's for Google. We don't see it. And you can send in your questions or just abuse us anonymously. We get some. And, it, you know, some of it's good-natured. A lot of it isn't. It's quite hurtful and personal. Okay, here's a question that we got on the Google form here. Mm-hmm. And it says, I have a girlfriend, and as time goes by in the relationship, she is looking at me as a friend instead of her boyfriend. Any advice on that?
Well, it happens.
Does it?
I wonder, yeah, it sometimes happens. It doesn't always happen. I mean, people have to make an effort to keep the relationship alive. I mean, where it usually happens is when people become too much like brother and sister, you know, or try to have the same views about everything, you know, the couples that don't disagree about anything. They, you know, share all the same attitudes and views. I mean, it becomes scary to have a different view in the end. And quite often the sex slides away.
As a result.
And they become much more like friends or brother and sister. I mean, if she's friend zoning you, she might have just gone off you.
Right.
There is that. There's that too. Yeah. It may be that this relationship has run its course, but that doesn't mean it's been an unsuccessful relationship, because as I'm always saying, relationships are a form of self-development. And if you've done it, it might be time to move on.
Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely correct. And I think that, let's say, and also if you got to the point in a relationship where, yes, it's done its course, but that's because now you're friends, I would say that's a nicer end.
That is big success.
That's a nicer end, yeah. Then, you know, like, yeah, the time relationship might be over, but at least it's ended in a nice way rather than
it doesn't end,
other.
Does it? If you're friends, then you're friends, you know, hopefully you're friends for life.
Yeah, but that's okay. Lovely. But let's say that isn't the case. And this is a natural thing, because don't we say the honeymoon period lasts, what, 6 months to a year?
Well, no, at maximum 3 years, actually.
Oh, wow,
but,
okay.
But if you do anything to commit, the honeymoon hormones will switch off.
Right. And then, so I suppose, though, because people, I think they're constantly chasing the dragon and chasing that high of the early relationship, which is just not...
Early relationship energy.
Yes, exactly. Yes. A popular polyamorous term where people are addicted to that, so they date lots of different people.
The polyamorous community.
Sorry.
It's not all about that.
It's not all about that. And also I said, you know, they're addicted to that. That's not really true. But we did have an expert on Dr. Magdalena J. Fossey. Yeah. Which was great. Well, and but she talked about this, that some people really love, some people and some polyamorous people love the early relationship energy
or
so much.
So much
that they that's you know, that's sort of their guiding force, in that they go from relationship to
relationship. And I mean, that's been talked about in all sorts of pathologizing ways, you know, like people who talk about love addiction. And that sort of thing. So there are people who really, really do like that. But I think it's a misunderstanding of what relationships are like. I mean, there are an awful lot of people who believe that energy at the beginning of the relationship should last throughout the relationship. And then if it goes, they think they've been friend zoned, or they think there's something wrong. And actually, relationships settle down in something a bit more humdrum, and also have a bit of disappointment as well, quite often, because when the hormones switch off, you see one another a bit differently. But that's normal, and that's all normal. So you shouldn't be hankering after the honeymoon period.
Well, and the humdrum can be quite, it's you know, it can be quite
very
nice.
Comforting.
It can be quite, exactly, knowing that there's someone on the other end of your phone, or someone to return to at home, and all that sort of stuff. You know, someone to comfort you, or all that sort of, and someone to watch your TV shows with. All these sorts of things, all the good stuff that comes with relationships. That stuff that when you stop and think about it, you're like, actually, this is quite nice. Whereas the alternative is, I'm lonely and sad.
The things that you've just mentioned, though, you could do with a friend. I think that there's someone to have sex with is the bit.
Right, then.
Well,
how the hell do we keep the spark alive, then?
Well, most people go through a fallow phase sexually when we're really busy and we're living together. I mean, when you're living together, you're focused on taking the rubbish out. What's for supper? Mm. You know, have I snipped my nose hairs? All of that sort of thing is going on an average day.
Yeah.
But whereas when you're not living together, you're going on dates. And so you leave all that stuff behind and you go off all carefree to have fun. Whereas, you're not having
a mini holiday.
Yeah, exactly. So sometimes you need to either take yourself out and go off for the weekend, for a dirty weekend or a sexy weekend or whatever.
Yeah.
Or even just some time, you know, just some time to reconnect and have no washing up to do, no tights to rinse through, whatever.
Mm.
It's about context. Really, and giving yourself a fun context. So some people spend time every week or even every day doing something that connects them. It helps to have an intimacy routine so that you always have a cuddle before you go to sleep. I don't mean sex, I mean a cuddle. Or you snuggle up on the sofa together, you kiss hello and goodbye. You treat one another as though you're partners, rather than rushing through going, what? You've left your pants on the floor again? Or whatever. Mm. You're kind to one another, and you're nice, and you set up sexy situations. Even if you just lie together in bed naked talking, or you spoon, or you make time for that. I mean, sometimes you just have to put it in the diary.
Yeah, I think some people, whenever you say that, it does sound, they're like, what? These things should be spontaneous, but they still can be.
Is a date spontaneous? Do you both suddenly in your own houses think, I'll have a shower and go on a date, and you meet up at the pictures spontaneously? You didn't know that was planned. That wasn't in the diary.
Yeah, you're so right. Exactly. People think it's spontaneous, but it never
is.
Yeah. I shaved my legs before that date. I put on all my makeup. I did this, I did that. I wear my nice pants. Exactly. You're so right. So these things aren't spontaneous. They are scheduled. So you can schedule time. It doesn't need to be time for sex, because that is putting pressure on it, which sometimes, you know, there is that pressure at the end of a date or whatever. But this is you just saying, we're going to lie together naked, we're going to have a bath together, we're going to do whatever.
Having said that, I also want to say, if you don't want to be having, if neither of you wants to be having sex, that is absolutely fine. You can still have a loving, caring, tactile relationship without sex, you know, or even if you want to leave out sex for a little while. It's absolutely, there's no judgment here, and we're not saying that. I'm wondering if this person who is, say, he's finding that sex is reducing in the relationship, looking at me as a friend, I mean, I would really, really like to know what the evidence is for this, and whether it's just someone who's not having as much sex as they used to and is upset about that.
Yeah.
Or whether this is somebody, you know, or whether this is actually somebody who's treating them more like a friend.
Do you think as well that they should speak to their partner about this?
I was just about to say, why don't you ask her?
Yeah. And the thing is, though, you might be afraid that if you go and say, how do you feel the relationship's going? They'll be like, whoa.
Well, I mean, I think that's, I mean, you might as well get to the point.
I guess that's true. And also, this isn't kind of what you were talking about before, right? Where you were sort of like, when you get into that phase of constantly not disagreeing with your partner and all that sort of stuff and sort of becoming a yes person, you guys think the same things and do the same things. Is that necessarily true? No, but you don't want to upset them because you've become whatever, you know,
but you're allowed
sister, best
to have different views. You're
exactly.
allowed to. And different interests.
Might even be quite
and
sexy
do
if you had different...
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I'm not saying now, you know, just say they're like, oh, my favourite TV show is The Office. And you go, I love the UK Office, you dick. Not the American one. The American one's shite.
You don't do that, do you?
Oh, no. It was just the end of a couple of relationships. But what I mean is, but don't just pick a fight for no reason to be like, oh, then we're disagreeing and now we're more our own people again and we're less friendly and all that sort of stuff, because that sounds weird. But just back yourself a bit more. In some ways, someone that was in a very long-term relationship, 9 or 10 years, said to me the other day, she was like, the good thing about being in a relationship for so long is actually the longer it's gone on, the more I know that for some things, he's not going anywhere. My partner's not going anywhere anytime soon. So if we do have a disagreement, I know you've got a bit more of a safety blanket. And so I can be more myself. We can have these disagreements.
Yeah.
And actually, the long run is they're still going out now and they're still really in love. And that's amazing. So in fact, this is more of a springboard to be honest, be yourself.
I would completely agree with that. The only time I would say this disagreement is a deal breaker is if my partner didn't like Sprouts. Other than that.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Other than that.
Can you break up from your mum? Can you stop being your mum's son? Because I think we've got it. Yeah, I'm sorry, babes. I see you as more of a friend. Why are we still talking about Sprouts when it's January the 8th? You're still like this big old hangover from Christmas and New Year's.
So yummy.
Ugh, fuck
me. Haven't eaten them all up yet.
Yeah, well, but that's how many you bloody bought.
Yeah.
3 bags, all 5 kilograms
each. 3 bags full. They're so yummy.
All right. Well, listen, hopefully there was some good nuggets of information, good sprouts of information there that you can use.
But if you want to give us a bit more information so that we can expand another time, then by all means.
Then please do. But otherwise, I think we should move on. We'll have a little break and we'll come back and answer one or two more questions.
People often ask me what my regular London pub is. But that assumes there's a pub I can easily return to, so please stop asking that.
London Pub Reviews, written by Paul Ewan and featuring Tim Key. A Hattrick podcast.
Did you save my seat? Why? I'm at a completely different pub now, with different seats. Catch up.
Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Drinking with dignity. Yes, sir. Yes, madam. That's me all over.
Wonderful. Welcome back to The Real Sex Education After School. We have got 3 more of the questions that you sent in to us here. So let's get started. This person says, you can call me Simon.
Hello, Simon.
Simon says, my partner, 22 female, semisexual. Do they mean demisexual?
Probably.
But even then, is that relevant information? Because does demisexual mean that you fancy someone who's clever? Demisexual?
No, you fancy someone you care about.
Right, sorry, yes, exactly. What's the one I'm thinking? Homosexual? What am I thinking of? Sapiosexual. That's homo sapien. I've gotten that mixed up. Homo, man, sapien, clever? Clever man? All right. Simon says, my partner, 22 female, demisexual, and I have a long-distance relationship for over 3 years now, and I tend to think about sex a lot in my daily life, to the point I get physically aroused in places where I'd rather not be, transport or office, for example. Is it normal, and do you have any advices on how to deal with those rather intrusive thoughts? 25 male, bisexual. I think that I felt in love with men before, but I'm unsure.
I would only call these thoughts intrusive if they are unpleasant. So if you're having thoughts about a violent sexual situation that scares you, or doing something horrible to somebody, or somebody doing something horrible to you, or something awful happening, that's an intrusive thought, really, a worrying thought. Whereas thinking about sex isn't worrying, is it? It's very pleasant.
Yeah, a soft kiss on the cheek is what you're thinking. Wow, yeah. That's just like a, ooh, you know, it's like a little... It's like a little moment.
So if you were in sex therapy, what we want people to leave us with is the ability to become aroused during the day. If there is a trigger, if there is an arousal trigger, they experience the arousal without pushing it away. They just allow it to happen and they say, oh, that was nice. And it passes. That is nice. That is normal. That's what you're doing. And if you're thinking about what you were doing the night before, that is lovely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so nice. It's a little bit of connection and you're just reliving the situation. You are 100% normal. Don't try and stop this. It all sounds lovely.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not going to, I mean, you don't have to act on any of these things. I suppose your body might give away some triggers or signs, but flip that erection up into your waistband.
Yeah, if it's embarrassing, then I guess you need to deal with that. But for most people, you know, you keep a long sweater on or something so people don't notice. Just, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all in your head. No one's going to notice. No one's going to look at you and go, hey, he's got an erection. That man's thinking about tits. No one's going to do that, are they?
No.
Well, they're not going to look at you really and be able to tell that.
The thing is as well that I think there was at one time a lot of encouragement for people to act on their arousal because there was a bit of an assumption that people didn't recognise their arousal, they pushed it away all the time. And I think that is the case. Some people do push it away, but what I'm saying is don't push it away.
Yeah, go with the
flow. Embrace it, allow it, and let it go. You do not have to run off and have sex every time you feel aroused. You can just enjoy it. And actually, when you do come to have sex, if you're allowing yourself to feel aroused, it is a lot better.
Big old build up during the day.
Big old build up. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or maybe turn it into a positive. If you do have to act on it, you could just send your partner a cheeky text being like, thinking of last night.
Exactly. That's so lovely. That's
cute. That's class. Yeah. That's great. Yeah, exactly. Oh, amazing. All right. Let's have another one. I have vaginismus and I have been going to physiotherapy and have finally gotten the green light to start penetrative sex with my husband. We're struggling to find a position that could ease my first penetrative sex experience. Any tips? Aww. Woman, straight, virgin.
Right.
Tell us what vaginismus is.
Well, vaginismus is when somebody tightens up a lot in the pelvic area, so much so that it's impossible to have PIV sex, penis in vagina sex. They are very, very... very, very tight. So in an ideal world, I would like people to have sex therapy before they attempt intercourse with vaginismus, simply because it rewires your brain. You go back to base. Your brain reads your body. So you put yourself in a sexual situation, and however much physio and help you've had, if you haven't done the rewiring, your brain is likely to go, oh, sex, help. So it's...
Yeah.
You know...
Sorry. Just, you're wearing that green sweater and it makes you look like a frog when you did that. You sort of jump back and extend your hands out.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Very funny. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, yes. But yes, you're right. You if you're going to re-enter a sexual situation, your brain always says help in these situations. So it's going to do that again.
So it's likely to do that again. So what I would say is before you get round to intercourse, have several sessions of fooling around with your partner, including you using your partner's penis to stimulate yourself. So stimulate the vulval area with his penis so that you get used to the feeling of the penis near to your body, near to the entrance to the vagina. So use it to stimulate the vulva. Give yourself lots of orgasms if you can and enjoy it. Get your partner to agree not to penetrate. When you do want to do that, then I would go on top. And maybe just put the tip inside, well lubricated, if you can.
Yeah, and again, even that time, you still do what you're saying.
Oh,
before,
yeah, do
right?
all the beforehand. All the... Be very, very, very aroused when you do this. And maybe just stay right on the tip the first time or the first few times. And don't go deeper until you're ready to. Now, you can, if you sit right down, you'll scream your head off. So just keep it light. So develop a good squat. And then when you're comfortable with that, then maybe if you're penetrated from behind and your partner stays shallow, that can be okay. It also leaves him hands free to stimulate your clitoris at the same time if he wants to, which may be very helpful if you're feeling, you know, if you're feeling anxious about this. And the other thing is side by side sort of spooning is a shallow way to go. But the thing is that it's important that you feel in control so that
on top is a really good place
on
to
top
start.
is a good way to start.
Because then you, like you say, you will dictate the depth, I suppose.
And I mean, if you want to, you could start with a flaccid penis. You know, you could start after your partner has ejaculated, so that you're certain that it's very unlikely he's going to get an erection again immediately, so that you can use a soft penis to get used to the feeling of that against your vulva. That can be very nice. So that's a fun thing to do. So I would say that's the way to go. Do not rush into anything. Green light does not mean rush. It means that you begin a different journey.
If they have ejaculated as well, I would say be careful of...
Be careful of sperm.
We'll still be seeping out afterwards. So yeah, if you don't want to get pregnant it's your husband, so hopefully there won't be any STIs you don't already know about floating around. But yeah, if you don't want to get pregnant... But
yes,
if you do,
very wise advice, Digory.
Thank you. Right, here we go. One final question. Ooh. Hey there, I've recently discovered your podcast and I love it, so thank you.
Yeah.
My problem is the following. I have a good and healthy sex life at 30 years old, previously with various sex partners and for a few months with my current partner. There is just one tiny hitch. I can't orgasm with someone else. I know I can on my own, and I am having a lot of fun and feeling pleasure during partnered sex, but I can never quite get there. Any tips on what to try or how to approach the issue? I'm sure I am far from the only one out there. Thanks so much. And love from Rome.
Ooh.
I'm cis female, 30 years old, and identify as bisexual. Hey, Rome, that's ruddy cool. Ciao.
Hello.
God,
there.
I'm having a good
time. That's amazing. Oh, spaghetti, cannelloni.
Yeah. Well, don't just
I am blown away by this coming from Rome.
I love it.
Yeah, it's really nice. So it's probably something to do with anxiety, isn't it? And response pressure and wanting to please your partner and that sort of thing. So
response pressure.
So
tell us what that means. Just
response pressure when you're wanting to be aroused so that you'll be proving to your partner that they're arousing you.
Which leads to like people faking orgasms.
And
just being like, what? Oh.
Yeah. If you know that you want to show that how much you care and how great it is, then the minute you start to think about that, it all disappears and the arousal goes away. So this is probably about just getting to know one another a bit better and about relaxing. Does it actually matter if you don't orgasm? I mean, other than doing it to please your partner, maybe you could do it for yourself if you know you can do it on your own. Maybe just explain that you're anxious and that's the way you'll feel more comfortable once you've done it that way. Maybe you could, if that feels difficult, maybe you could both masturbate together and, you know, see what that's like so that you get used to that kind of thing. A lot of women during sex particularly do masturbate. To be on the safe side. So, you know, this is not abnormal at all. So, and it doesn't say anything about their sexual prowess. And it's really difficult. It can take years to feel relaxed with somebody. I mean, that's a sad thing to say, but for some people it can take years.
No, absolutely.
So this doesn't sound like a big problem. It just sounds like you just need to relax. You can try it. Mindfulness techniques, you know, there are loads of websites with those. You can try deep breathing and stuff like that. You can try Kegels to tip you over. Sometimes doing Kegel exercises can help. Sometimes pretending does actually make it happen. All sorts of things. You could use sex toys together, all sorts of things. Yeah. There are lots of ways. If you really feel there is something blocking you, then, you know, as usual, sex therapy is a great way to sort it out. But I would guess that more experimentation and more relaxation will fix this.
Yeah, I think that's it. Just, yeah, keep experimenting.
I'm glad you agree. I'm glad you agree, Dix.
Yeah.
Made my day.
Exactly. Well, you know what I'm going to do as well in the future? I keep updating the survey, but now I need to update the survey to say, and also just for us, let us know where you're messaging in from.
Yes.
It's fun when, you know, we had, you know, last week we had someone from India. Today we have someone from Italy. We might have someone from Indonesia next. It seems to all be beginning with I.
If they could all send us pictures of their supper as well, I'd be very grateful.
Oh, my God. Mum fucking loves it. And, hey, am I getting better at sending you pictures of my dinner? I am getting a bit better.
A little bit.
It's not great. It probably, I'd say, what's the ratio? One every week you get a picture of my dinner?
Not one a fortnight, maybe. Or
fuck
one a month.
Off. I'm doing the best I can.
Where was the last one? I haven't seen a picture of your dinner since before Christmas.
Yeah, to be fair, I was out for dinner last night and I did not send you a picture of my quite weird pasta I had. Have you ever had a pasta? Italy, this is good.
Yeah.
Have you ever had paccheri? P-A-C-C-H-E-R-I.
I don't know.
It looks like a little tube. You know the little tubes that you get? What's that?
Like rigatoni.
Rigatoni, right, but it's not. It's fat. It's like a chode.
Like
rigatoni.
Cannelloni.
What's cannelloni?
It's a tube.
I should know that. It's like that, but like it's so thick and it's flat and it's really big.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I know what you mean now.
It was.
I can see it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was. I had.
Too flabby. Too flabby.
It was quite flabby, yeah. But it was quite, because it had chili in it.
Oh,
which
chili.
Was nice.
I like chili.
But it had some like, it was like kale that had been into like,
well,
made
what
into
would
like
have
a...
improved it then instead of kale would have
oh,
been.
Oh, no, don't say sprouts. Fucking hell. Man, yeah. I'm hungry now. I might have some pasta. Keep on with the Italian vibe.
Well, send me a picture if you do.
I will. Maybe this will become the new thing. People will send us pictures of that.
Pictures
we'll
of
have a we'll have a Google form for the sex questions. We'll have a separate Google form to send you pictures of their supper.
I would love that. Please do.
Honestly, you should, guys at home, you should look at Mum's TikTok and her reels and her Instagram. Your algorithm is just like, right, do you want more cats? Do you want more babies or do you want more food?
Cats, babies and food is absolutely cats, babies and food. But do you
know
what? All I'm getting at the moment is American dinners. Ever since Thanksgiving, all I've had is people putting together American dinners. And what they do is they put squirty cheese on everything and sugar. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I've literally just bought some squirty cheese because they love squirty cheese.
Squirty
For me, that
Velveeta or something.
Terrible.
Oh, I know.
Sounds and bad. We love our cheese.
Everything.
We
really
Christmas,
love our
didn't
cheese.
We
love our
we
cheese.
Love it. Yeah,
not
yeah,
squirty
exactly.
cheese though.
No, in fact, I think it's. Do I want to say it's the work of the devil?
Probably
I think
is.
So. Yeah, I
probably
think so.
Probably is. Well, I'll tell you what. If I wrapped a bit of cheese around a sprout, do you think you'd have a go?
I would, yeah. That's like, you know, when you pour gravy on your homework so your dog eats it. I mean, that is the way to get me to eat it.
Well, I'll remember that for next
year. I once said that at school because I hadn't done my homework. And I saw a joke and I think it was in the Beano or something. And I said, oh, I did my homework. I left it on the kitchen table. But then obviously because it was on the kitchen table, we spilt gravy on it and Dad ate it by mistake. And I think that was, I think, the year that you got the, I remember we were at parents' evening and the teacher said to you, the good thing about Diggory is he's very honest. The bad thing about Diggory is he's very honest. Because obviously I was joking about Dad eating the homework, but I think the point of the message was I didn't do my homework.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, Diggory needs to not be telling the truth all the time. He could maybe try a bit and, you know.
Oh, yeah, but it was, but I mean, that was an entertaining way of saying I didn't do my homework. And you probably, if you'd spent the time on your homework that you spent thinking of that, it would have all been sorted, wouldn't it?
No time left in the day.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Wonderful. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us yet again.
Yeah.
I love doing this. It's so much fun. Keep the questions coming in. That's the only way we'll be able to keep doing it. So if you're enjoying it, like, subscribe. Comment if you're on YouTube, like if you're on YouTube, like if you're on Spotify, I don't know, get involved in the polls, follow us on Instagram, TikTok, X.
Send us your suppers.
Send Mum some suppers.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next time for some more Real Sex Education. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.